This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, few minutes past 6 p.m. Ryan, Everybody Loves Wiggins is here with us.
Yay.
Good to see you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Does Charlie Brown know you have a shirt?
What is my shirt? Oh, hey.
It doesn't
really look like Charlie Brown.
What do you got going here?
My tattoos.
Heroin addiction.
Did you just give blood or something?
I did, and look how many times they had to. 1, 2, 3.
Did you give?
Yeah.
Wow, good for you.
I gave a lot of blood as part of a drug study, so it wasn't actually to anybody other than doctors. But
it's one of the things I would like to do in my life because I'm terrified of it. Like, I don't like to have my blood taken, but giving blood, it feels like it's a really big needle and it goes for a really long time. And one time in law school, because I didn't want to give blood, I worked it. We did like a blood drive, and just watching people,
Oh, I've worked many blood drives. You've never given at all?
Nope.
Like even medically?
Well, yeah, sure. Okay. I've had blood taken,
yeah,
but I will avoid it.
Oh, me too. That's what this was. This was all medical. So,
I thought you just did it because you're a good guy.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Yeah, this was all just because they needed it to test stuff. And I even that I hate doing. Like, I can't stand letting someone... Like, you can do all the tests on me you want. The minute a needle comes out, I'm like, no, we're not friends anymore.
I've gotten much better with shots. Like, there's some shots, like, I understand, like, a B12 is kind of painful. Or, like, a tetanus or one of those... cortisone, no way. But like a flu shot, no big deal. I have tattoos, so I'm pretty okay with needles. But there's something about right here in your elbow where you got it. There's just like when I've only had one IV in my life. That's pretty lucky. And it was in the back of my hand, which I've had some people say like, oh, that's so much worse. It was so much better. Like I saw Nick get an IV here when he was younger and he had to have his appendix out. And once he got it in, I'm like, you okay? He's like, that was awful.
That's exactly right. That's why I see hand, and then finally I let him do my arm, and they got it. Yeah. Hands are way better. They're always like, no, why do you want to do a hand? I'm like, it doesn't hurt as bad.
Yeah.
It's not weird.
It can really hurt sometimes, too. My first one I ever got, they did it in my left arm, and I guess my vein isn't as juicy over there. And it started to really hurt, and I'm like, my whole arm hurts. And they go, oh, that's not good, and switch to my right, and then I was fine. But I can, like, feel it now.
Okay, I can feel it, too.
I got this big bruise on my elbow because I fell down the stairs.
Yeah, I know, I was there.
Here?
It was at Bailey's Range, like a block away. I was looking at my phone and I fell down the stairs.
She went down about half of them.
Oh, that's a lot of stairs.
Pulled like a Pee Wee Herman. She just jumped up and just walked out like everything was fine.
I fall a lot, so it's mostly just embarrassing. It did hurt, but it was much more embarrassing than it hurt.
I mean, you're all bruised up. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it hurt.
Aren't the stairs there like those little circular ones?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so you fell down the circular
down,
stairs?
Yeah, it was bad.
That's got to hurt worse because you're falling at angles.
I just had to show my injuries because Ryan was showing
the,
his.
The hostess... who we were very nice to, but pretty insistent on, like, we want to be upstairs, and she was kind of miffed at us. And then she watched Rachel fall down half the stairs and pretend like she didn't. And then when we're walking out, she's like, okay, bye, thanks.
I was like, shut up.
I felt a little bit weird.
I hate this place.
Because I don't think I was being that big of a baby when they were poking my hands, but the nurse was like rubbing my shoulder, and she's like, you're okay, just lean back. And I'm like, I'm not that...
Yeah,
I'm not reacting that badly, am I?
Yeah. Kissing your forehead. It's okay.
I mean, we're close, but...
When I had my colonoscopy, I knew that I'd have to get an IV, and I wanted it in the back of my hand, and I was doing it because I was doing lives for the Siteman Cancer Surgery Center, and so they said, look, if you're uncomfortable, you can get like a Valium that morning, and I'm like, right on. So I get there, and this nurse is nice, but she's like 65 and kind of, okay, she wasn't nice, and I said, could you check my file? I think I'm supposed to have a Valium, because she's about to put the thing in my hand. And she goes, what? I said, yeah, I'm supposed to have a Valium. She said, why do you need a Valium? I said, oh, I just have kind of a needle thing. And she smacked my hand really hard and said, "Stop being a pussy." And whoa, then she put it in.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know they could actually say that legally.
They did. She did.
You're right. She was not nice.
Right.
They just did that to my one-year-old. He had a tubes put in his ears, like real easy, like 5-minute
like,
surgery.
Stop being a pussy.
Yeah, they just smacked him in the face. Like, get over it. Like, man, that seems rough, but you're the doctor. No, they were like, well, we're going to give him Tylenol and all this stuff ahead of time so that when he wakes up, he won't have any pain. And then the doctor comes in and we're like, hey, they didn't do the Tylenol and all the pain meds. And they're like, oh, yeah, too late for that. Let's go. Like, whoa, wow. Okay.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah, thanks.
Hope your baby can tolerate pain.
One time, it's so embarrassing. I was signed up for the insurance medical thing to come to my house and weigh me and do the blood test. And so I got up that morning. I had fasted all night, nothing to eat or drink. And the people called me and said, hey, we're just confirming. We're going to be there in about an hour. And I said, yeah. They said, you didn't eat anything, did you? And I hadn't. I said, well, I did. And they said, what did you eat? I said, well, I had a piece of toast. And they said, nah, not ideal, but you're probably okay. And swear to God, this is how it went. And some bacon. And they're like, well, how many pieces of bacon did you have? And I said, 5. She's like, oh, that's not good. Anything else? And I'm like, cereal? Unbeknownst to me, the lady was a listener, and she had me on speakerphone with a bunch of other nurses, and they were just dying laughing. And
that you were doing like a
yes.
bit? Did you really eat all that or not?
No.
You were just doing a bit for them?
No, I wasn't doing a bit.
Oh, you really did?
I was afraid for them to come.
Oh.
And I saw my chance to have them say, okay, we'll put it off a week. Which is
seems like I ate a birthday
so
cake.
So you just kept like upping
yes,
the ante
I just kept
to see
upping
what
the
it
ante,
would take.
And they kept letting me.
Had a few mimosas, not going to lie to you ladies.
Did they ever say, okay, that's you've had
yes,
too much?
Yes.
At what point was that?
Like between the waffles and the pancakes.
Wow.
And then when they came out, they're like, hey, we need to come clean. Like, we knew you're lying. But we just had so much fun with it. And once you said you'd eaten all that, we couldn't ethically come out and do it. And
so they you still didn't even determine what the line is for what they'll allow because they were just messing with you.
Pretty much nothing.
Really?
Yeah. And then it went even worse because I thought you couldn't eat or drink anything. So I didn't have a swallow of water. And I have pretty good veins. And when they got there, they're like, wow, your veins are really, not that out there. And I said, well, I haven't had any hydration. Like, oh, no, you have to. So I sat there with the lady with the needle who watched me drink like 2 big tumblers of water and just, it's just awkward and I'm scared and I'm making really weird small talk and she's watching me drink water and my veins are plumping. Ugh.
Yeah, I did the same thing today. They said, you're not very hydrated, are you? I said, no, I probably should drink some water. But I'm thinking at that point, how fast is the turnaround going to be?
What are you doing, Zimmerman?
I'm just looking at my veins.
Ugh. You're poking them.
We're just thinking about getting IVs. I thought this is the one that sticks out the most. This
God.
Is the ideal one right
That's
here.
So gross.
In this light, you
Whatever.
Actually have some terrific veins on your wrist.
Big and purple.
Yeah, it's because I'm so pale. Yeah, I've got some blue.
You look like the Hulk.
Yeah, been working out.
I've got this thing full of water because I felt so bad about not being hydrated, but
you
it's
know,
full of orange soda.
Before I fell down those stairs, I walked up them, so I work out.
Yeah. Anyone got anything?
Yeah, I do here. Would you be willing to weigh yourself before getting on a plane if it meant saving the environment?
Connect those dots for me.
There's this new startup that wants to save up to $1.3 billion a year fueling airplanes. So apparently they fuel up, they waste a lot of fuel because they could be weighing everything that goes into the plane and just fueling up based on that. So this company wants to discreetly weigh people before their flights, record everything, do the math, and then fuel up.
Here's what I don't get, and I'm no aeronautical engineer, but it's not like they empty the gas out after each flight. I mean, they're using the same amount of gas, right?
Isn't there an amount that they would want to have above and beyond the exact amount of fuel it would take to get there?
Oh,
just
wait a second.
Case?
I'm 142.
Yeah.
Siphon some out really quick.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. No. I would think most people would say no, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to weigh myself. The airline gets enough from me, okay? They get to see me through an X-ray. So they basically see you naked when you go through TSA. Sometimes you get patted down. They look through all your luggage. They get enough. They don't need to weigh me, too. That's how I feel.
That's probably the difference between girls and guys, because I could care less.
You don't care.
Although
about
I don't care about any of my information. They're asking me today, like, "Well, can you sign this HIPAA form?" Yeah, I don't even care. What's a HIPAA form? Sure. And then what's your Social Security number? I'll just yell it down the hall. Like, I don't care at all.
Well, tell the people at home, Ryan. What's your social?
All right, here it comes.
We all have Netflix, right, Ryan? You have Netflix?
I do.
Netflix is testing a random episode button for when you have no idea what to watch. So it's just like,
it's a really
luck
good
of the
idea.
Draw. I think it's a good idea, too, until you land on a really sad or depressing episode of something when you're in a good mood.
Oh, it just pulls up a random, it's not like a random show, but even a random episode of a show. I don't know if I would do that. I can't stand jumping in the middle of things.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's going on. I tried that with Game of Thrones because everybody's talking about it. And I'm like, I don't want to start at the beginning. I tried to watch an episode. I'm like, man, all I know is that guy just got stabbed right through the throat. And then I don't know what happened.
That would be a tough one.
Yeah. It reminds me, my first boyfriend had all of these shows on a hard drive on his computer, and instead of watching anything in a row, it was all on shuffle. So it'd be like an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, followed by an episode of Vikings, followed by an episode of SpongeBob. It was so weird and so disorienting, but that's how he liked to watch all of his stuff that he had on his computer. I gotta say, I don't really recommend it.
Did he kill people while you were dating?
No, he waited until after.
Okay.
If there's no story arc, it doesn't really matter though. SpongeBob.
Yeah, but like, and Vikings and
I'm picturing the Vikings like football. Is there a show?
No,
called
there's
Vikings?
A show. Oh. There's a show. People on Twitter tell you to watch it all the time, Dave. But
yeah,
I don't even know what
I
channel
should.
It's on.
Being a Viking now.
Yeah, you should.
I'm more of a Viking with 23andMe than I was for Ancestry. Why that is, but I'm gonna go with it.
Okay.
Viking with Alzheimer's. Forget who I'm supposed to rape and pillage.
Did it say you were likely or you were unlikely to be bald? I can't remember.
Likely.
Likely? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for rubbing that in, though, Rach.
No, I was
appreciate
just...
it.
There were things on the list
now,
where it was like...
Now remind me, what did they say about your baldness?
That was the thing that popped into my head because there were several things where you said, oh, I defied the odds on this one, this
yeah,
one, and this one.
Yeah, they said that I shouldn't have dimples, and I do. They said... What were some of the others? I forget. Mm. But a couple of things where it's like, you shouldn't this... But I do.
Shouldn't wear beanies. But he does.
What's that supposed to mean?
No, I just mean.
Did they give you a likelihood of baldness? Or is it just like, yep, you're going to be bald?
No, it's like more likely or less likely. You're more likely or you're less likely. And then they give you like the genetic markers.
So they're not giving you percentages. They're mm-mm. just saying, mm-mm. yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ryan, you should do the death date website that me and Dave and Tony did.
I heard you guys do that, and it's frightening. I don't want to do it. Because if it says tomorrow,
yeah,
I wonder if
I'm
it
not
going to
come in here.
I wonder if anyone, like, it's like a week.
I doubt they do that to anybody.
It sounded
so unreal.
Because
that way it's too easy to prove, yeah. I think they're banking on, we'll give them at least 10 years, and then they'll forget that they ever did this.
Right.
McDonald's is adding... a burger with creamy bacon sauce and a caramel waffle McFlurry. Am I the only one of all the fast food restaurants that feels like McDonald's has just completely lost their mojo?
Yeah, I agree. And they've also cut back their late night menu. All they're serving is like cheeseburgers and fries. You can't get any, you know, it's not that small, but they've really cut back to where you can only order four or five things off the menu.
See,
if you go overnight.
I guess I would be terrible at this. But if I were McDonald's, I would go back to like 1974. I would go throwback. All my stores would look retro. It would be just the simplest menu. No kale. No like gourmet burger. I personally, I think that would work. I think that would appeal to people.
That's what they're doing. They're trying to cut down drive-through time because that's where they make money. And so I'm surprised they're adding those items because they've been decreasing the menu like for the last few years.
Did you say caramel waffle?
Yes.
That's a weird flavor to land on out mm-hmm. of, you know, how about chocolate?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Was that not on?
It wasn't on.
Was I just yelling?
You were just yelling.
Into a dead mic? Okay.
We heard you.
They know what I said.
Do they?
Yeah. They know I would say, like, hey, guys, blah, blah, blah. Few minutes past, blah, blah. I don't even think I could stop doing that now. It's probably not what you're supposed to do, but I've done it for so long. Fun facts?
Let's hear them.
The definition of a classic car in most states, because I guess it's a legal term of art, is a car that was made at least 25 years ago. So now a car from 1994 is technically a classic.
Hmm.
That's weird.
That is weird. The insurance is cheaper on them, though.
What's
you think
good-
so?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because you don't drive classic cars as much.
What's what, Rach?
What's a good car from 1994?
Got me. I mean,
Sebring.
None. Yeah, I mean,
classic. A Chevy Cavalier.
Man, it's embarrassing the cars I thought were so cool back then.
Like what?
Oh, I can't remember the name of it. Oh, God. Like a Tiburon or something like that.
That's still around.
Is it?
Yeah. That's like an SUV, though.
Then it's not that.
Okay.
Some girl that worked at my law firm with me had a little sports car, and I was just like, coveted it. So I thought it was the coolest
Miata
thing. No, my sister had a Miata.
Miatas were cool.
I had a Riata.
What
familiar with
that?
Those?
That sounds fake.
You have to look them up. It's a Buick Riata. It looks like a Miata.
But not as good.
And
it costs more.
It had a touchscreen. Like
yeah,
one of the,
right.
Swear to God, like one of the earliest touchscreens. And I was so poor, and I paid for it with cash, my last like $5,000. And then it was totaled in an accident. I got hit from behind by a listener. Swear to God. And then I had to drive my mom's car. And thank God, Francis let me drive her car. But it was like a purple, maroon on maroon, Cutlass something. I look like Grimace. And here I am, a grown-ass man, broke as can be, driving my mom's car. That's when I had the show.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. I was poor. I was really poor for probably the first 5 or 6 years of the show. Because I signed my first big contract in 2004, which should have made me rich, but it doesn't when you owe hundreds of thousands of dollars. So when you're starting out in a really big hole, it takes a while to even get... I remember when I hit zero net worth, it was like a dream. Like I had realized my dream of having zero net worth. And not like ironically, like, hey, everybody, woohoo, like for real. Like, if I sold everything I own right now and paid off all my debts, I would have nothing. And it was like, it was a huge moment for me.
Man, I guess
well,
that's
congrats.
What debt will do to you.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's good to know, too, that going forward, maybe someday I can stop driving my mom's Ford Docus. Since you've drove a Riata.
It's a Docus.
It's a joke, Dave.
Oh, I was going to say, like, I've never heard of that car.
There's good reason.
Dr. Joseph Ignatius Guillotin is the man who came up with the guillotine for France in the 1700s. And the reason he designed this is he was adamantly against the death penalty. And so he convinced them to use this because he thought that chopping people's heads off would finally convince France to stop murdering people, to stop putting people to death.
Bad news.
Yeah.
Wow.
It
no
just
kidding.
Made it more fun.
And he got named for it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to stop death, and then I'm going to get named for cutting people's
That's
heads off.
That's kind of like being anti-gun and then creating like the most efficient killing machine ever and being like, you know, when they see this, they're not even going to want to use guns anymore. I don't think so, sir.
And it's so creepy. We've been down this hole before, but when they were using like the axe, like who was it? Mary Queen of Scots. It took like 3 whacks to take her head off.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think if you're ever going to have a clean kill, it would be Mary Queen of Scots.
No, muscles in your neck.
Right. But just like, nope. Oh, that's so bothersome to me.
They say scientifically that there's a few seconds where you could still remember it.
Up to 30.
Up to 30 seconds? I thought it was like 5.
Yeah.
Where you could actually look up and see your own bodies hanging there. That's crazy.
Spaghetti is actually plural. Each individual piece is called a spaghetto. Do you know that?
Nope.
That reminds me, so much fun going to Eddie O'Neill's house. And he had an island, sort of like the studio here, and nobody had one of those. Like, what is this?
A kitchen
island? Middle of your kitchen. And we, on a hot summer day, we would play bar, and we would use Kool-Aid, And the snack, the bar snacks would be raw pieces of spaghetti or spaghettos. And we would sit there and be like, so, how's your life? Like, oh, man, don't get me started. The wife and kids, right? Making me crazy. And we'd do this for hours. Just like pretend we're drinking booze.
What a life he's had.
And you also used spaghetto incorrectly because you said spaghettos.
Oh, there you go.
And then he drove away in his Riata.
You know, you two are kind of a-holes.
Yep.
And you make each other worse.
Have you guys seen the San Francisco poop story?
Yes.
To narrow it down.
Have you seen it, Dave? So they made a map of all the times poop was found out in public
since
2011 in Sacramento. I mean, I know that they used the color brown on the map, but I don't think it's actual poop footage. But that's, I mean, there's been poop on every square foot of this city since 2011. The most of it has been found in the area of Market Street, where the headquarters of Twitter and Uber are located. So you might think, oh, maybe there's a huge homeless problem. No, it's been flat since 2011. That means people with homes and people having these tech jobs are pooping in the street of San Francisco. Just blows my mind.
I don't think that's true.
It is true. That's what everyone's saying.
Everyone's saying that executives at Twitter are pooping on the sidewalk.
Not the executives, but clearly people, unless homeless people are producing this
yes,
much more poop.
That is not correct.
All right.
No non-homeless person is pooping on a sidewalk. Not one.
Really? You don't think anybody is?
No. I don't. I think
Dave,
you have that
you
all wrong.
Didn't you poop in a cup in your car?
Hey, I'm not a Twitter executive. I'm a creative.
I can't believe you're like, no, what self-respecting person, whatever.
I just don't think that it, I think the story is that the homeless problem is so bad that San Francisco's covered in poop. I don't think.
No, but the homelessness has stayed flat. It's not
they're
like
they're pooping more.
All right, fine. That's what you believe.
I don't think there's a single executive who's like, you know what? On our way to lunch, I'm just going to drop trow and...
I think some of them do.
Have you ever seen somebody doing that? I have.
Have you really?
There
oh,
you
yeah.
go.
Yeah. Not in San Francisco. And he wasn't an executive, I don't think. He was wearing a suit and tie. I just assumed he was homeless. No, it was seriously, I was driving down Kings Highway, and there was a guy... Here's why I remembered it. Because you see a guy pooping, that's pretty memorable. But you see a guy taking a dump while he's walking, and you're going to remember that. And that is exactly
just,
what I saw.
It was just falling out.
He was just like, ah,
like
I got
a horse.
Like shaking it out the bottom of his pant leg.
Exactly like a horse.
Yeah,
no,
was he wearing pants?
He was wearing pants, but he had them kind of pulled down, and he was like, ah, I got to keep walking. And so he just kind of was like doing like a squat walk while he was walking and just taking a dump, and he was just going to pull those things right
just
back
like
up.
Just like a horse.
Exactly like a horse.
And where were you?
Kings Highway.
No, I mean, where were you physically?
I was in my car. I was driving past him. He was on the, it wasn't like he was trying to hide it. He was just walking down the sidewalk.
In 2011, there were 5,547 human feces incidents reported in San Francisco. The number rose to 28,084 in 2018.
Yeah.
You can't convince me that every single one of those dumps belonged to a homeless person.
Maybe not every one, but you can't convince me that executive public pooping is a problem.
So all the homeless people are saying, you know what, I'm going to walk over by the Twitter headquarters. And
100%.
I like
yes.
that it would just be executive pooping is just a problem in San Francisco. Like, it doesn't happen in other cities, though.
It's a weird thing that they do. Californians, you know?
Well, they say what happens in America first happens in California.
What other fake news stories do you have over there?
This is my last one. Children in the USA don't drink enough water. Instead, they're opting for sugary juice, which we all knew that. But apparently, they consume an extra 100 calories per day.
That's it? Only 100 calories?
I don't know what to tell you. You got a problem with everything I've brought to this segment.
Are they pooping
segment.
On sidewalks too? No, I'm just...
I'm sure they are because they're kids.
You're just so defensive because you're so wrong. I'm surprised that it's not more than 100 calories a day. I would think that they'd be getting like 1,000 extra calories.
1 in 5 American youngsters don't drink any water at all, which is kind of crazy.
I believe that, yeah. Water sucks.
Those who don't drink any water end up consuming almost twice as many calories from sugar-sweetened beverages.
100%. They grow up to work at Twitter and take big steaming piles.
I'm trying to pay attention to the story, but I just keep thinking about that guy walking around pooping while he walked.
Because you know what? Because people do it. So thanks for proving my point, Ryan.
Uh-huh.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. So, Ryan, you're a good Christian young man.
Thanks.
What do you think about the controversy? Such an interesting thing to me that Notre Dame burns down. People donate like $500 million. Then some of France's richest people say, we're going to make it a cool billion. Now it's up to like $1.5 billion. And there's been a huge backlash from the yellow vest people who are always rioting to just general non-rioting people saying, this is the least Christian thing I've ever seen. With $1.5 billion, you could feed France, which is why they're having all the riots, and, you know, like spend a few million on Notre Dame.
Well, I don't know. When that was happening, I don't know if I just have no attachment to France. Like, I've never been to France, but I was like, okay, whatever. It's a building burning. Like, that happens. Maybe it's this landmark, and if you've seen it, it changes things for you. But from a Christian perspective, I'm like, it's good that people donate, so let them donate to whatever they want. And if it's a problem because it's... Are you saying the problem is that they're donating to a Christian thing?
No. The problem is they're donating to a building as opposed to, hey, we could take this money and feed human beings. And that's the Christian thing to do.
Rachel,
mm-hmm.
Does that remind you of the Judas argument when the woman pours the perfume all over Jesus' feet and they say, why'd you waste all that money? Why did you do that? You could have sold that and given it to the poor. And Jesus is like, no, they're doing a good thing.
And she walked out and pooped on the sidewalk.
Yep. She washed his hair with her feet.
I know it's not the exact same thing, but it's...
I get what you're saying, though. It's people are donating out of the kindness of their heart. You can't regulate charitable acts like that and say your charity isn't good enough, you should be donating it to blank. The thing that I find really ironic about the whole thing is I follow equal right wingers and left wingers on Twitter. My Twitter feed is a very, very interesting place because I see a lot of different takes. And I see a lot of people on the left saying this is so disgusting that they would raise this much money for a building whenever we have people who are hungry in America that we could be feeding with that money. It's kind of like the immigration argument where it's like we have homeless veterans on the street that we could be taking care of, but you want to let all these people in. It's very interesting. But I always say on the show, you can't force someone to be compassionate. That's something that comes from your heart. And you can't tell someone what to do with their money. If they think that it's worth it to them to give money to Notre Dame, then let them do it. And then the organization can take the extra funds and decide what they want to do with it. But come on, to say it's unchristian. Well, what are you donating to? Who did you feed yesterday?
That is pretty much the argument against socialism, in my opinion. You can't force people to give things out of compulsion, otherwise it's no longer giving.
Yeah.
And when you allow people to give, then you do, like, you let people do something good. But when you make them, they're not even doing anything good anymore. You're just taking things from them. And I can't stand that aspect of socialism, I think, is my biggest problem. Not that it doesn't work. And, you know, as we talk about on this station a lot, socialism has many problems just as an economic philosophy. But I just hate that you're telling somebody exactly what to do with your charitable giving, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Can I out myself as a hypocrite, as I often do? So yesterday we talked a lot on the show about when we went out and we cleaned up the parks for Earth Day, and there's one in particular park where there's a statue of a fireman and people live there. One of them was about a 2-year-old baby. And I reached in my pocket to pull out some money, and Rach was like, maybe not, because there's a bunch of people here, and if you don't have enough cupcakes for everyone, it could cause a problem. And she was right, so I didn't. But today when I was driving in, I was about a block and a half away from that area, but I could see it. I could see the statue, and I could see the people. I didn't see, like, the baby or the mom, but I could see, like, probably the same people there.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did I not go there to help them, but I turned a block early so that I didn't have to see them. So that's the level of generous and compassionate I am. That if it's in my face, like, if I'm right next to them, I'm like, oh, my God, this is so sad. I really need to help them. I got some money in my pocket. But the same people were there this morning, And I was in my car, and I could have just driven up and said, what can I do for you guys? But I didn't, because it wasn't in my face.
You think that's hypocritical, though?
I feel like it is. I feel like if I were really a good person, I would have gone out of my way to drive up there.
That just sounds like being moved in one way versus another. I mean, if it's somebody that's personal to you, or it's a cause that's personal to you, then it makes sense that you're going to want to emotionally move yourself to give to it. But if it's not, if it's sort of a distant thing, you know, why would you feel bad about it?
Yeah, and Dave, you can't take it upon yourself to... I mean, you drive past there every day, so you're going to stop and give people money every single day? You can't do that. You could do that for a while, but you can't do that. You could handle it more than a lot of people could, but no. That's not your responsibility to do that. It's like I told you yesterday, just the fact that you are moved by it, that's showing kindness. That's all that you can expect from yourself, is to have a soft heart towards it.
I'm laughing because it reminds me, a few months ago, back when it was kind of crappy out, there was an old guy with a white beard, looked like Popeye's dad, sitting on the bench across from Chris's Pancakes, and I was in there having breakfast, and it just really moved me. And so I got up out of my seat, and I went over there, and I gave the guy $20, and he was just like, oh my God, this is so great. And he's showing me his groceries and how he really consumer shops, and it's I'm going to put it all to good use, sir. And I went back feeling good about myself. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take him breakfast. So I ordered a big breakfast to go, and I walked over to him. I'm like, hey, man, here's breakfast. And I could sense the guy was like, okay, is this guy hitting on me? Like, does he expect some sort of sexual favor now? Because he was really hesitant. He was like, I'm good. And I'm like, no, man. Because I didn't get it at first. I'm
now
like,
get in my Jeep.
It's like pancakes and sausages.
Dude, you got to tell Ryan the boot story from when you were God. In law school. That's so funny. No, you were a lawyer.
First an attorney, and it was winter, and I was dressed like Inspector Gadget in my London fog coat, and it was really cold, and I was walking by Keener Plaza, and there was this homeless guy, big giant black dude with big dreads, and he was he had socks on his feet but no shoes, and they're all, you know, like holes in them, and it really moved me. And I went over to we used to have malls downtown, believe it or not, and I went to Payless Shoe Source, and I bought the most expensive, like, duck boots, and they're rubber and all this. I've never been so proud or pleased with myself. And I go walking up, and I'm like, brother, let me help you out. And I pull them out of the box, and they're all beautiful and shiny and blue. And I hand them to him, and I start walking away, just feeling so good. And one hits me in the back of the head. And I turn around, and he's chasing me in his stocking feet and just mofoing me. And he's like, do you think anyone's going to give me money if I'm wearing these boots? And so I'm running in my London fog coat from this scary homeless man who's throwing boots at me.
Oh my
gosh.
But
it was such a lesson. Like, as I was running, I remember this, as I was physically running out of Keener Plaza, I remember thinking, he has a really good point. He has a really, really good point.
If you're going to make a career out of it.
Yeah, from a marketing standpoint,
right.
You're not going to get money wearing brand new expensive boots.
I always think that about the guys who are in full winter coats in the middle of summer. Mm-hmm. Like, that guy is good at marketing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.